Hey, and welcome to Glaring Admissions, a show dedicated to sitting down and watching iconic, famous movies that one of us has never seen before. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-host, Raekwon.
Hello. I love being called a faithful co-host.
Doesn't it just kind of like fill you with a special kind of joy?
It makes me feel like I'm not an unfaithful co-host.
Right. This has been brought to you by monogamy. Monogamy. Anything else is not monogamy. We got sued for false advertising, so we just have to be very literal from now on. Here at monogamy.co.
It's like I can't host any other co-host, any other podcast.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a faithful co-host.
Though. We can't do 3D animation because polygons are too poly for us.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, on today's episode, we are covering the 1999 Paul Verhoeven Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle, Total Recall.
Woo! Yeah.
Okay, so Raekwon, this is a movie that I've seen like maybe once every couple of years since I was 13. And I know this is, we're doing this because you've never seen it.
Right.
So I got to ask, just point blank, what do you think of the movie?
We'll save that for later.
How about God. Wait, that's so ominous. Right.
I'll tell you what I think at the end.
The last word, we'll be signing off. You'll have never said what you think of the movie. And then you'll be like, fuck this movie. Yeah, right. It cuts to the credits.
Horrible.
Terrible.
2 out of 10.
He didn't remember anything.
Actually, though, I really enjoyed it. You know, you introduced me to Paul Verhoeven from Starship Troopers. Yep. And it was a little different than Starship Troopers, but mm-hmm. I liked it. I really did enjoy it. And, you know, I didn't grow up a huge Arnold fan, so I feel like I'm being introduced to all his greatest hits by you, actually.
Yeah, about that? Because we've done other Arnold things before. Yeah.
And I've never seen, like, Jingle All the Way. I mean, I've seen Terminator, but this one. And,
Commando, we did on our other podcast, too. I think it's really interesting because while I was watching this last night, I had the thought cross my mind that like, oh, wow, Arnold is very choosy, or he was pretty choosy about who he worked with back in the day. Mm. Like Terminator was with James Cameron, who was, he was a nobody, but like obviously that worked out in Arnold's favor. He did Twins with Ivan Reitman, which is the guy who directed Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Paul Verhoeven for Total Recall. Like he actually, for a minute there, he went out of his way to work with like super talented guys and he was choosy about the movies he picked. And it really seemed to work out in his favor. Unlike Stallone, who just like basically did anything.
Yeah, right.
There's a famous story in Hollywood about the movie Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot, which is a horrible buddy cop movie. It's Stallone and one of the Golden Girls. And the story goes that Stallone rushed to accept this movie because Schwarzenegger pretended to be interested in the part. And he also did a stupid amount of science fiction back in the day. Terminator, obviously. Total Recall.
Yep.
Predator.
Yeah.
Did a couple of lesser movies. One of them, I forgot the name of it, but it's like another, it's sort of like Total Recall a little bit, where they can like clone things instead.
I used to think, you know, being, you know, uneducated about his filmography, you know, like I really did think that he was as big as he was because of Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like just a huge dude, you know, big personality, like handsome, super strong guy.
Yeah.
Like not a strong actor, you know, like, and just famous for his being the guy, the main character in action movies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in a lot of great stuff. I didn't really know that before now.
Everything you said is true. He is the big, strong guy who isn't necessarily the best actor,
mm-hmm.
but like he knows how to like put himself in situations that work for him. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think we just got a lot of good movies. So something really random about this is it's actually Schwarzenegger who ended up getting this movie made. I don't know if you read up on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. He became like the executive producer, basically.
Something to that effect. But basically, Total Recall is, first off, the premise of the movie is super simple. There's this guy named Douglas Quaid. He has this strong desire to go to Mars, so he goes to a place called Recall to have the memories of a trip to Mars implanted. But, so it turns out, he has actually been to Mars before. He's a spy who was deep undercover, and he doesn't have his memories, but everyone is trying to kill him. He has to go to Mars to basically figure out why and save the day. So the thing about this movie is it's based on a story by Philip K. Dick, who also wrote the basis of like a bunch of other things. I forget the name of the exact story, but one of his stories became Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they wanted to convert this other story, which is, I think it was called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Yep.
Which I actually read yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Shout out to the University of Kentucky for just having a PDF of it.
Oh, that's cool.
On Google, you could just pull.
Nice.
So that's the story it's based on. And in the 80s, they wanted to turn that into a movie. And there was a guy named Dino De Laurentiis. He was a pretty big producer back in the day. He worked with David Lynch. It's actually why David Lynch calls Kyle MacLachlan Kale, is because Dino De Laurentiis called Kyle Kale. And it just stuck. He wanted to make a Total Recall movie. And he had a vision for it. But then like a bunch of development problems happened. The movie Dune came out with Lynch and it didn't do well, which probably hurt this movie a bit. Mm. And through some happenstance, they went through like a bunch of other directors, a bunch of other actors. And eventually Schwarzenegger read the script, said, "Ah, this is fantastic." And then he called up Paul Verhoeven, who he apparently had met and said he wanted to work with. And it was like, "Yeah, Pauly, you got to check this out. It's fantastic. It's a science fiction movie about going to Mars."
Wow, is Arnold here right
Arnold's
now?
Arnold's right here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're going to put B-roll over all of that so nobody can say otherwise.
it's the Arnold bus talking.
We'll do the old thing they did on Conan, which is they used to have like a TV come down with a picture of Schwarzenegger, and they would do like the Clutch Cargo, just superimpose someone else's mouth over Arnold. "Ah, come on. It's time for the Muppet Show tonight."
That's one of your stronger impressions, I'd say. Yeah. That might be better than Lynch.
Yeah, yeah. Those are my two that I always... That and Jimmy Stewart.
Who's Jimmy Stewart?
Jimmy Stewart is the guy from It's a Wonderful Life.
I don't know.
Okay, it's fine. We'll put that on around the holidays.
Okay.
That's why we made the show. So they had a million different people signed up to play Douglas Quaid at some point in this movie.
Yeah.
People like Jeff Bridges, Richard Dreyfuss, the dude from Jaws, mm-hmm. and American
Swayze.
Graffiti. Swayze was mm-hmm. in it. Yep. Yep. And they even had Christopher Reeve at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that. Crazy.
But it's because originally, the original story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, it's just like an ordinary dude. It's not like mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. where they definitely had to do the rewrites to have him working like construction
yeah.
in this movie. Just to explain why he's like, you know, jacked.
Jacked as fuck.
Yeah, just this movie went through development hell. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they aimed for originally was what they called Indiana Jones on Mars. And oh my God, I feel like they delivered on that premise.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they, I've read or heard that it was one of the last movies to use set pieces.
Yeah.
Like, well, not set pieces. What's the correct word?
Like actual props.
Yeah. But also one of the first to do CGI.
The X-ray.
That was a cool scene, though. Even though it looked, you know, it's super early CGI, it looked good.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I had a thought when I was watching that where I was kind of like, oh man, you can definitely see the keyframes for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which is like, oh, we're going to put this dot here and we're going to move the arm here in this time. And it's so funny to see how far we've come, but it also totally worked.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about like how fake this movie looks at points.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I'm a sucker for it. All the like the animatronics and the puppets, and it feels so grounded and so cool. Even when it looks fake, it works for me.
This kind of watching this reminded me of how we felt about Jurassic Park a bit, where it's just like, this just feels like a movie. It doesn't matter while you're watching it.
They said that on the box, by the way.
This is a movie.
Siskel and Ebert. This is a movie. And then there's a dash with your name on it. How strange.
It doesn't matter that you can clearly tell that when something looks fake or whatever.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck.
No one cares. It's not so distracting that you're like, what the hell? It's just cool to see that, like, you know, they're using practical effects. I've become a huge fan of practical effects recently, you know, and
good.
One of my favorite things from this movie is like when he has a dream in the very first scene where he fucking cracks his head on the rock and his helmet is exposed and he's not even suffocating, is he? Well, he is suffocating.
He's being turned inside out.
Yeah. So
yeah, he looks like me after I eat some shrimp or peanuts.
Oh, your eyes bulge and your tongue swells. My eyes bulge
out and you just hear, ah, kill me. Put me out of my misery.
For how like disturbing that looks, I loved every time that happened. Like, because it
really
looks
quick,
so cool.
I just need to finish my impression of me going into anaphylaxis. Gotcha. Tell my wife to not make dinner for me tonight.
Do you think that's something people would think before when they're dying?
Like, if they're considerate. Oh, shit, my wife has a roast in the oven. I mean, it's just common courtesy. Comment with your thoughts on it. But I feel like if you know you're on the way out, she doesn't need to set a plate for you. She'll have enough on her plate. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah,
she'll
literally
have two servings and a dead fucking husband.
It's like, oh no, she's gonna make too much food.
We're on a budget.
Oh my god.
This is capitalism's fault.
Jesus. But yeah. I enjoyed seeing their eyes bulge out and their tongue swell in the movie because even though it looks crazy, it reminded me. I tried looking it up, but I couldn't find it. There's a video from the 90s or whatever, like a rap video. I think it was like Busta Rhymes. I couldn't find it. But there's a point where they show like a scene where someone like is trying to scare someone and their eyes bulge out and their tongue like comes out,
it's
like kind of like that.
Very Tex Avery, early Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
kind of like,
yeah,
you know, it has like the squash and the stretch of and because it's a physical prop, it just feels like it looks uncanny. Mm-hmm. But I hate to break it to everyone, the fact that you would even have this happen to you on Mars is uncanny.
Yeah.
Arnold's eyes bugging out when they're like being squeezed out of their side. It was so funny.
Yeah. Because they like, every time it happened to someone, they like gyrate back and forth. They're like,
because it's just a puppet.
Yeah, right. You know? It just looks crazy. It's going back and forth or their eyes are popping out.
Yeah.
But when it happens at the end of the movie, right before they get the air, I kept thinking like, it would be so cool if they just, not cool, but if they just died here and the movie ended, like they saved the day, but they died. But instead, their faces were turned back to normal. I was like, no.
They're just like horribly mutated for the rest of their life.
That's what I thought was going to happen. It's like, damn, are they going to be like missing eyes now or some
shit? That would have been such a good heel turn for Schwarzenegger, though, because he was like making fun of the mutants earlier.
Yeah, right.
He has to just live as a mutant for the rest of his life.
His eyes are permanently bulged out.
Yeah.
He can't close his mouth because his tongue is too fucking big now.
If he's like such a baby about it, maybe only half his face is fucked up. So he has like a phantom of the opera thing going.
He starts hanging out with those psychics that he seemed to love so much.
Oh yeah, the psychic that just like walked up to him and predicted his birthday.
You're a Taurus, right? Here's a coin.
Here's a schmeckle.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know,
I'll give you a schmeckle to get the fuck away from me.
That's like actually what he like, yeah, right. When Dean Norris, Hank from Breaking Bad, like walked up to him in the bar, he like threw so much shade at him. I just want to point out, this isn't the only movie they've been in together.
Oh really?
They've also been in Terminator 2. Dean Norris is one of the SWAT members when they're attacking Cyberdyne.
Oh, I have to rewatch now.
Dean Norris is the guy who, when Miles Dyson dies, he's like, fall back, because he saw the explosives. Anyway, we should talk about Total Recall.
Should.
So, yes, this movie is a somewhat high concept action movie because it delves into this like theory of like, who are you really? Are you the life you lived or are you the memories of the life you have? Is he dreaming this entire thing? Is he really having this embolism people said he's having? And right off the bat, I'm just going to say it because you wanted to know earlier. I think it happened.
You think it wasn't a dream?
I think it wasn't a dream. I think it really happened. And I'm basing this off of the story, which is still kind of ambiguous, but not as ambiguous. Mm. So it's actually very different from the movie. He gets cornered at his home almost immediately. And they're like, look, either we can kill you or we can wipe your memory again and give you a different memory so that you don't want to go to Mars. And he's like, okay, what if instead of wanting to go to Mars, I saw aliens as a kid? And the aliens said, so long as you stay alive because you showed us happiness, we won't destroy the planet. And they're like, okay, this is perfect because it'll make you feel important and it'll make you proud to be living a boring everyday life. So you won't want to go to Mars because you have to stay alive.
Sounds simple enough.
Yeah. The end of the story says otherwise because they put the memories in and guess what? That was his original story. Mars was the cover story for him, that he was a secret agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a cool twist. Yeah, obviously this movie's a little different, but because of that story, I feel like Total Recall is the same thing, where it's like, no, this really happened to him. Like all of the things he picked that happened in the movie, that just happens to be coincidence because he's already experienced some of it. He imagined a beautiful brunette and then met the beautiful brunette that implanted that like attraction to that type of person in him. So I like to believe it happened, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, just watching it first couple, like 45 minutes, I'm like, I'm thinking this is happening because you get to the part where the doctor comes in and tells him like, hey, you are dreaming. Like, and this isn't real.
Hey man, this is a fucking dream.
Like, you realize you're still in the recall. And even seeing that, I'm like, nah, this is just the agency. this is not true. But then when you get to the end, when everything happens the way that he says, that the guy says it's going to happen in recall, like that, and the shining light, I know it's supposed to be ambiguous or whatever, the light shining and that's how it ends, I'm like, he might be dead. That might be him dying there.
So you think it isn't actually happening, though?
I'm not sure, because it kind of doesn't make sense for him to be dreaming, too. Like, it lines up, yeah. But
it doesn't matter, ultimately, too.
Right. But I think that it may be really happening, sort of because of what you said, because if we think about the very beginning, like the start of the movie, he's not dreaming there.
Yeah.
So he is actually a secret agent. So why would he, being an agent, end up being like, oh, this is, you're dreaming. They let you get to the recall.
That was something that confused me too. They do kind of explain it. Dick from RoboCop, the main villain, he said something to the effect of like, you popped your lid before you were supposed to. So at some point, they wanted Douglas Quaid to go back to Mars, but because of reasons, he just did it early. That's what the movie says. And I kind of get where they're going with that. But like, I do feel like the whole plan was stupid. Like, okay, we have these psychics and we have to dance around these psychics and their abilities. So we're going to wipe the mind of one of our agents and we're going to send him to Earth so that he can figure out that he has to come back to Mars. But his wife isn't going to want him to come back to Mars. And then he has to infiltrate the resistance so that he can get near their leader. And we can kill the leader. Like, okay. A little convoluted, you know?
Yeah.
It borders on Inglourious Bastards level of like, this is the plan, okay? Oh, word. Gotcha. But okay, whatever. I mean, it's an action movie. You kind of check your brain out of the door. Honestly, while I love the second half of this movie, Roger Ebert said that it basically just devolves into a normal action movie once he gets to Mars.
Once he gets to the Red Planet, I think the picture starts to resemble itself all the way through, which is it real, is not real, and he's fighting this one guy. And for me, the back half of the picture broke down.
And he's not wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I will say when he gets to Mars and he... what's his name? Benny, the cab driver.
Yes, his name was Benny.
When I first saw him on screen, I honestly wasn't going to make a note of this. And when I first saw him, like his performance is going on and on. I'm like, this guy's pissing me off. I was like, I don't get it. Well, I do get it because he had this old like fucking, oh, yes, yes, sir. Like,
No, he was a stereotype. Yeah, you could say it.
He was like, in my notes, I had, what is this yes, a massa like mentality this guy has? It was making me so angry. I was like, what is he doing?
Oh, no, 100%. But you know what? That was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
It was definitely Verhoeven told him to play it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in its own perverse way, it was like a interesting choice, because by having him act like that, it is conjuring up the idea of a person betraying his own people.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Benny ultimately?
Yeah.
He's a mutant double agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, fuck, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, it did. That's in the end, like, I had that written down in my notes. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like, makes perfect sense. Because he was just like overacting the part of the cab driver. He ends up just being an agent that's just overacting. He's just overacting as a double agent.
I really liked how he had a catchphrase. I got five kids, man.
Five kids to take care of. Like me watching that, like I was just like, what?
It was really fucked up, but it reminded me of the Rick and Morty with all of like the bonus characters. And he's like, we got a saying down in Brooklyn. I'm walking here. Yeah, no, Benny was an interesting character, and he had a horrible death. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a gruesome death. You get blended on your end.
Oh, I was just talking about the one-liner leading into it. Imagine the last thing you hear is Arnold Schwarzenegger using a drill, and he just screams, screw you!
There's a couple of good one-liners.
It's a horrible way to die.
Yeah. Well, hey, I wanted to see him die a gruesome death. I'm not gonna lie. I wanted it to be pretty brutal.
Yeah. But, you know, what you were starting to say was there were a lot of good one-liners. There definitely were.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite one-liners from the last rewatch I did, I've completely forgotten some of these lines. There are that many good ones. But it's when he gives Benny, like, the packet of bills, and he's like, take him to the dentist. Take your kids to the dentist. And I was just like,
because he had a bunch of silver teeth in his mouth. Yeah. Like, he didn't say you go to the dentist. Like,
he said, take your kids.
I know the kids is fucked up too.
Yeah, you're a lost cause, but the kids.
It's not,
you
know, too,
you got
late
five
for
of
them.
You could at least fix three of them up.
I got five kids. God damn it.
There's a drinking game to be at every time he says he has five kids. I like when he drops his cover. He's like, I got four kids, man. And then Arnold's like, what happened to one of them?
Oh, all his teeth rotted in his mouth and he died.
Yeah, he got scurvy and died. One of my notes before it was revealed that he was a double agent, which I had forgotten, by the way. Yeah. So one of my notes I had written was like, five is such a specific number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't become a cabbie and then have five. He chose to be a cabbie with five kids, which I guess should have been the moment my head like it clicked, where it's like, oh, he's a agent. Because like, yeah, five kids is a cabbie. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you struggling.
Yeah, you're struggling. Like, at a certain point, stop having kids and start donating sperm. God. Maybe his plan was to have a lot of kids, and then when the older ones start to get hungry, they eat the younger ones.
You know, like,
times are rough, man. I don't know. That's inflation, baby.
Hey, I mean, he was an alien.
Yeah.
So maybe
I'm just saying,
just eat the grunt of the group.
The CEO of Kellogg's a couple of weeks ago said that in light of the recent economic troubles, this is true, by the way, this isn't a bit. He said something to the effect of, we're just grateful to be able to give families something to eat for dinner, implying that he's happy that people can only afford to eat cereal for dinner.
Jesus Christ.
So, Benny, and maybe eat some frosted flakes, frost those flakes over one of your kids and eat some candles.
Eat.
He actually had six kids before the movie started. They couldn't afford a birthday cake for number five, so they had to chop up number six.
You know, he's an alien, so maybe like five kids isn't even a lot for his kind.
He's a mutant, sir. He is a mutant. He is about 89% human and 11% weird praying mantis arm.
I do like that his arm is still brown. Like his alien arm is still,
it's not green or anything radiated.
Yeah, right. It's just like, yeah, this is my skin color.
I'm just thinking out loud, because they're the ones who made Douglas Quaid who he is. They gave him his memories. They gave him his personality for the most part, probably. Was the five kids thing like a trigger, like a sleeper agent trigger where it's like, you're going to hear he has five kids? Because it's so specific that it's like, I'm going to go with this guy because I've been programmed to be such a sympathetic bleeding heart.
Maybe. Yeah, because I mean, it definitely could have, because the other guy was just like you said, he was going to go with him.
Yeah, yeah, he was so just going to go with him.
That also could have been him just being like, oh, damn, I'm losing him. I got to say something crazy to get his to get him in my cab.
OK, there are so many things going on, but like Benny had one job and he nearly fucked it up.
Yeah.
What happens if he didn't get Arnold in the cab? I mean, no, I guess like they would just Arnold would still go to the club and Benny would just pick him up there, mm-hmm. presumably. I don't know.
Yeah, he probably would have had to like tail him after that.
Yeah. And what we need is a multiverse spinoff for Benny. It's just Benny learning to be like less of a stereotype.
He gets his own show.
Yeah.
I did see that this got a, it had its own show, prequel show.
Did it really?
Yeah. But wow. It didn't do well, apparently.
Well, it's, you know what? The thing about Total Recall is it's a pretty open and shut story, you know, like even the remake. I haven't seen the remake. I can't really speak for its quality, but it's kind of like, why bother remaking Total Recall? The first movie is great and it's iconic, or else it wouldn't be on the show. But like, really, did we need it? You know, they kind of nailed it is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I have seen the remake.
The Colin Farrell one.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything about it. I maybe didn't even finish the movie, but it was like a movie that like my dad had wanted to see or something. And it was like an action movie. I'm however old when it came out. I think it came out in 2012. 12. So I was 15. The one scene that I do remember from it was like he switched faces. Like all the time.
Okay. That's so, kind of interesting.
Yeah. Like, so he went from being literally different people all the time. I guess.
Which they do that in this movie too. Yeah. He gets to Mars and he's wearing that redheaded woman's face.
2 weeks.
That's what it is. And yeah, like the face starts bending and stuff. They do it in this movie and the effects are really good. Like, the shot of the animatronic when her face opens up and it reveals Arnold underneath. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly like a puppet. It's an animatronic of Arnold.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't care. It just it clicks and it works and it's so pretty. I loved it. Also, I do have to mention one thing. So Mission Impossible coded.
Oh boy.
Just the face mask disguises. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I saw that and I was like, oh. It just reminded me that I still want to do a Mission Impossible on this show. Here's a question for everyone watching. If you haven't seen Mission Impossible before and you want us to do it on an episode of Glaring Admissions, please just tell us in the comments, because I had seen Mission Impossible 2, 3, and 6 at some point in my life, but back in January, I sat down and I watched one of those movies every day for 2 months. Mm. Or not every day, every week. So if you want us to do it, it still technically counts. And I do think like it'll be a good one to cover. So
yeah,
by all means, sound off in the comments.
We were talking about this the other night. I haven't seen a majority of there's seven or eight now. Seven.
Seven. Eight's coming out next summer.
Yeah. So
yeah. So anyway, back to the special effect. Yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about way earlier, where I was like, oh yeah, it's so cool. Like, I like seeing the seams in a movie. Maybe it's because I just like movies and filmmaking, but to be able to see all of the weird choices they make when they're making a movie is one of the greatest pleasures imaginable for me. Like, I genuinely just get high off that shit. I just look at that and I'm like, ah, I love being able to tell when it's a puppet. And I love being able to tell when it's rear projection and you know, all that stuff. So all of that's great. I also love when the head explodes. It's very clearly just like a, it looks like a paper mache head almost. And then it just explodes.
Yeah.
Which back on the DVD or the Blu-ray, you might not have noticed it, but I watched it in 4K. So you really see how fake it is. And it doesn't matter. It just makes it look so cool.
Yeah.
Another one I really loved was all of the Sharon Stone scenes. Like, I love the famous one-liner from the movie, which is consider this a divorce or whatever. So classic. So great. And I think Sharon Stone playing Schwarzenegger's wife, like, was just actually good casting. She didn't have that much to do in the movie.
No, she's not in much.
She sold every frame of it. And then she promptly did Basic Instinct with Verhoeven a few years later. And then they like haven't worked together since, I think. Because he was like apparently an awful person on set her. So
when I was looking into the movie, I did hear that Sharon Stone and Schwarzenegger didn't get along.
Really?
Yeah. And like the fight scenes, the guy alleged that Sharon Stone was like hitting him for real for the like nut shots or whatever.
I you know what? Maybe that's some of what we were talking about where it's like, oh, that's such good acting. Maybe it wasn't acting.
Yeah, maybe just you don't like each other.
Think about it. She's a woman undercover, mm-hmm. and she's married to this person as a part of her cover, and she hates the guy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, oh, well, that makes it very easy for Sharon Stone to do her job on set, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That classic line that you consider that a divorce, originally the line was consider this a divorce, and then he shoots her.
Mm.
And then, but they changed it because they said it didn't make sense for him to be, he's not like a murderer, like straight up the,
Quaid. Well, also she pulled a gun on him. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, nobody says the one liner until they know they won't die. Yeah, right. No one wants to be that asshole where it's like, you're terminated. And then he dies, you know?
But like, that's a little too murdery for him.
It's a rookie mistake is what it is. Fucking chump move, you know? They drew first blood, not me. And then he dies. Mm. No.
He's like, consider this a divorce. Bang. It's like, yeah, that's kind of like, whoa, that's like out of character for him. But then the shooter and then be like, oh, consider that a divorce. It's like, it's a little bit more palatable, a little bit.
Also just classic them having to make this movie less violent.
Yeah. All the other violent shit that's in it.
True to form, this movie's first cut got the X rating. Now the really? NC-17. Yeah. Just like RoboCop. And I think Starship Troopers at one point also.
Geez, Starship wasn't that bad.
Yeah, maybe I was wrong with Starship, but I know RoboCop got an X rating at first.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's Paul Verhoeven. The guy just loves buckets of blood and gore and sex. He also directed Showgirls, which is just rated X.
Mm.
You know, there was a picture circulating on Twitter a few weeks ago where people were like, you haven't lived until you saw the made-for-TV cut of Showgirls. We're like, you haven't seen the movie. Like, an hour and a half of it is just topless women dancing. Hollywood was trying to see if there was a market for NC-17 rated X movies.
Mm.
So this was like the poster child for it. The made-for-TV cut, they had to like CG in bras for all of the topless women.
Really?
And it looks so bad.
I gotta see that.
Yeah. If I can find the pictures, I'll put it on screen right about now. And we'll just hope we don't get flagged for it. They're CG bras.
Topless women that are now topped.
They're gravity-defying bras.
Oh, speaking of bras, dude, you haven't talked about the three-breasted woman.
We'll get to that in a minute. That sentence is the most scholarly straight guy thing to say ever. Right. You got your glasses, just fix your glasses and say that again right into the camera.
Speaking of bras, like, hey guys,
speaking of bras,
do the anime, like push your glasses up. Speaking of bras,
I'm 13 and this is how I think men talk to each other.
It's like, hey.
Hello, fellow men. Let's speak about the Victoria's Secret catalog, shall we?
Hey guys, how do you feel about breasts? This is what men talk about,
right? This is what men talk about, right? Yeah, exactly.
The little rascals in the tiered trench coat. It's like, guys, what do you think about breasts?
Oh my God. Bras? Yeah, it's three kids sneaking into an R-rated movie.
Into Showgirls.
And they're sitting next to a guy. It's a Showgirls. And they're just like, the guy's like, are you okay? You look like three kids in a trench coat. No, not at all. So what do you think of bras?
He's like, hey guys, we all love bras here, right?
We're just a bunch of beer drinking, paint huffing, bra liking guys. For the record, we could keep going.
We could. I was just thinking of
like, no, we actually could. In fact, let's do that for the next, like, let's just get it out of our system for 3 minutes, okay?
okay.
Ha 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 ha! I'm glad we got that out of our system.
The silly's out.
The silly is gone. From here on out, it is a 100% serious man-to-man discussion of bras.
Now let's get to the nitty-gritty of
this
thing.
Let's talk cup size.
It's like from here on out we're dead serious. And then but then you said that we're supposed to cut to, we'll get to the three-breasted woman later. That's for the serious part of the discussion.
One of the most Paul Verhoeven jokes ever.
Oh my God.
If we actually can be serious, is the three-breasted woman who's just like so proud of it.
I do have a serious note about that though.
Okay.
The three-breasted woman, the actress, apparently she said that was like a very depressing time for her playing the three, like that is super embarrassing, I guess, or something.
Yeah,
like
no, it really, shooting. I could see that.
She turned down being on Entertainment Tonight and Johnny Carson, like roles, you know, guest spots on that
because
she didn't want to be known as a three-breasted chick.
Because they knew Carson would just like, make it. Like, okay.
Can we see your breasts, by the way? You really got three under there?
It was
shit?
The 90s. They really would have said it.
Yeah.
Like,
probably.
Actually. Mm-hmm. No, that's so depressing. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about Sharon Stone, where when she did Basic Instinct with Verhoeven, there's, you know, in Basic Instinct, you know what that movie is. You don't have to have seen it.
I've never seen it, no.
But you know of it.
I know of it. I don't know what it's about, though.
So there's the famous scene where Sharon Stone is being interrogated and she uncrosses her legs. You know the one, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, The Simpsons did a parody of it. But there's a scene, she's being interrogated and she's trying to sexually stimulate Michael Douglas's character and everyone else. Mm-hmm. So she isn't wearing panties and she unfolds her legs. And Verhoeven apparently told her, like, just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it won't be on camera. Don't wear panties. And she did it. And apparently it's visible. So, yeah. Much as I love Verhoeven as a director, I think RoboCop and Total Recall are two of the best action movies of all time. Now, obviously, I do think Basic Instinct is still a good movie. Mm. It's a well-made movie, I should say. I like Showgirls. I think it's underrated. Starship Troopers. Like, I like Verhoeven.
Yeah.
He's a dick. You know, he's a very intense Dutchman with a hate boner for all things American, including perhaps some of our societal niceties.
Yeah.
Shall we just say.
Okay. But that's not in the cut of the movie, though, seeing her.
I believe it is. I think there's I think they had to use a different take or I'm not sure. So don't quote me on this.
Damn.
But I know it was like very controversial when it came out.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah. And yet she still came back for Basic Instinct 2 like 10 years later. Anyway, but that's so sad about the three-breasted character.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I do want to, because we're already talking about that whole bar.
Mm.
Man, if bars actually looked like that, I would go to them.
Yeah.
Just like that weird industrial. I love the architecture in this movie, you know? It's very like, oh, this is just the set of a Nine Inch Nails video with a bit more neon lighting.
That bar reminded me of like a new spin or a futuristic spin on like a saloon. Like it looked like it was super spacious. There was like floors, I think, maybe like one floor, like long staircase. So it looked like that, but it was a bar.
I think that's intentional too, because like Total Recall does feel like a sci-fi, a futuristic spin on the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of looking for gold or oil in the West, it's air and
spice,
as we call it. Yeah. As soon as the movie ended, I texted you, we fade to black, and then a title comes up where it says, and then they killed each other fighting over spice.
You know what? When you sent me that, I was like, oh, you know, it'd be funny. Like, and when I saw the end of the movie, inserting the Dune, them speaking that like, that'd be so funny.
I was just thinking about like the opening Mars scenes, but you hear the baby talking from Dune and it's just like, the spice.
What's happening now, mother?
What's happening now, mother? Arnold Schwarzenegger is getting suffocated on the sands of Mars. Ah, tell my wife to put the roast away. I don't want it anymore.
I'm just picturing the puppet gyrating back and forth like, God damn it, the roast.
I left the crock pot on at home. All around great stuff. Great comment about the saloon. I didn't even piece that together, but it does. It feels very Wild West at points.
Mm-hmm.
And way earlier in the video, I said that this movie was envisioned as Indiana Jones. I think they specifically said Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Mars. Mm-hmm. And it totally shows.
Yeah,
I think once they hit Mars, it does just become Raiders. Mm-hmm. There's even the scene where they're running away from the organization and the doors are shutting, so they have to roll under one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Instead of a hat, they just got freaking, you know, what's his face? Benny.
Yeah, I was going to say Benny is the one that rolled under too.
Yeah.
He got
he was the hat in this case. He has five
kids.
Come on,
Benny.
Come on, my five kids. And then just like five little critters zoom under the door.
Five praying mantises.
They're the guys from Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
Space Ghost.
It's okay. I'll put a graphic up.
Okay.
So, yeah, and we'll just put in the Hanna-Barbera shoot sound where it's like.
Sounds like the sound when you're at the fucking bank and the thing goes.
Yeah, exactly. That probably is what that is, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like and meanwhile, I was just thinking, oh, my God, I should be in a Police Academy movie. That was really good. Sorry.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. That's just going to be the new transition between segments in this episode. So how about bras? Get the roast.
It's making suction sounds. That's the caption or the subtitle.
Yes, Astrid suction.
Suction sound.
Hanna-Barbera suction sound. .AIF. Oh, my God.
Oh, you mentioned Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Mentioned that in season 7 of Rick and Morty, there's an episode called Wet Kuatu American Summer.
Oh my God.
And I just thought the episode was just super weird.
Yeah.
Like, just like, you know, it's Rick and Morty, it's the alien sci-fi shit. And, but yeah, there's a Kuatu episode and the whole time Morty is just saying, open your mind, like the entire time. In that Morty voice, open your mind.
Open your mind.
He doesn't speak. And the whole time everyone's like, the funny thing about the episode is that they get introduced to a Kuatu community, like, and shit like that. And they always only say, open your mind. Unlike the Kuatu in this movie who speaks, who looked like a fucking Chucky doll. He looked like the charred version of Chucky.
He did. He looked like a Chucky doll.
He did. Like the whole time I couldn't see past that. I'm like, that is literally Chucky, like on his like stomach.
Someone needs to Photoshop the scene at the spaceport where it says Kuatu to just say Chucky instead. Somebody being me. I don't know why I'm saying it ambiguously as if I'm not the one cutting this fucking thing.
Somebody's going to do it.
It's a Jekyll and Hyde situation.
Somebody on Fiverr. Oh, you're just referring to yourself like evil. Nick is going to do it.
Yeah, well, who said it's evil Nick?
It's the good Nick.
Did
this
you see,
is the evil Nick.
There's a meme. This is so off topic. There's a meme I love. I saved it on my phone where it's the Jekyll and Hyde musical. And it's Jekyll and Hyde singing about who gets to control their body. But it's a person and a Kermit puppet. So in the spirit of that.
Oh, Lord. He's back.
Somehow Palpatine has returned. For those who don't know.
Dude, like, I don't know why I didn't like it. Didn't process as soon as you said it. Somehow, Palpatine has returned. But just a second ago, Nick took out the blue Solo cup that was keeping Kermit's body like intact, like keeping it straight up. Somehow, Palpatine has returned. This is a callback to Media Obscura, where Kermit used to just eat your mic.
Excuse me. Okay. He didn't used to eat the mic.
Oh, what was
he used to perform fellatio on the mic.
Sorry.
Get it fucking right.
Kermit is your best eater, as the kids say.
It's choose your fighter generation. From a fighting game, but it's choose your eater.
Choose your eater is crazy.
On that note, buy monetization. What were we talking about before I just ruined the Muppets for like 20 people? If I haven't already, if Mr. Hyde hasn't already cut to the footage in question.
People gasping when fucking Oscar Isaac says it in the movie.
Oh my
Somehow
God.
Somehow Palpatine's turn.
What do you think of that, Kermit?
Oh, I thought you were just going to make him eat the mic again. It's like, that's just, he doesn't talk. He just.
I want to keep using the puppet, but I watch some more news and I don't want to copy them because they have a puppet character that's just unhinged on
word.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. So they also nobbles from Patrick Willems' nobbles. Videos.
Yeah.
So we need our own original Muppet. We can't just like disparage the IP of Disney. Back to the movie.
Yeah.
We should talk about some of the set pieces, some of the action scenes. It's an action movie.
So when you mentioned they wanted Raiders of the Lost Ark, but on Mars, it does give that tone because of all the sets where they go like, you know, underground.
Yeah.
And then they go deeper underground.
It's like in caves.
Yeah. And so it does really feel that way when they get there.
I also think the scene where they're running through the Hilton, which that's another thing. I need to put a pin in that. We need to talk about product placement after this. But when they're running through the Hilton and they jump off the balcony, it's very Indiana Jones. Like we're going to jump and we're going to hang on this thing. And, you know, it was just very indie. As for product placement, this movie had a lot of it.
Yeah. Like the huge Pepsi sign when they got to Mars and they're like on their way to the bar.
Oh my God. There was that. There was the fact that, again, he stayed at a Hilton. This movie takes place in the future and Hilton is still around.
I think it was a Ritz.
No, it was a Hilton.
It was a Hilton. Damn.
Unless they changed it. What if on like the 4K Blu-ray, it's a Hilton? And
they do that
for some TV shows. Yeah, when a show enters syndication, there's a famous example in How I Met Your Mother where they're walking past. The episode in question came out in like 2009 probably. But when it's played in repeats on syndication, the movie poster changes because it's just a green screen plate that they then put a different movie in.
Damn. They remastered it today. He'd be staying at Trump Tower. Like, imagine that.
You just hear, like, off in the distance, no collusion. We're not political here. We're just watching the highly critical of capitalist movie Total Recall. No, but in all seriousness, like, yeah, there's a lot of product placements, kind of what I'm getting at. Mm. And it's so funny how it just keeps cropping up. It's all these iconic brands. But also, like, it's kind of endearing. Like, I know they paid to be there, but there's something kind of inviting. It's like, oh, it's this foreign place. It's Mars. But there's the comfort of consumerism there. And it makes my dumb brain happy. No, there was also a really funny moment where it's telling when you can tell they didn't get the brand. Because there's when Arnold like opens his safety deposit box and he's writing something. He asks for a pen and he's given a straight up Sharpie. Like, gray body, black, you know, tip. It's a Sharpie. Logo isn't visible. I picked that up last night and I was just like, well, Sharpie didn't want to pay for this. So just really funny. I don't know. I wanted to share that. I thought it was so interesting.
You know, it probably an uninteresting thing that I noticed from that scene was how he writes his M's. I don't know why that bothered me so much. It didn't go all the way down. Like, it didn't dip down to the middle, the arch or whatever. It's just like, it's just at the top.
Do we know if that was actually Arnold doing that? Does it look like it was his hand? Because, like, I feel like for an insert, you just get somebody else to do it.
Yeah, whoever fucking wrote the note the first time, or if you can.
It's such like a, it's not like this movie was directed by Fincher, where he would do, like, 50 fucking takes to get it right. It's just like, all right, just fucking. You know, Mr. Schwarzenegger's stand-in, come here and do it.
Right.
You know, I love those little details in movies. It just adds character to them because it doesn't matter either, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that I guess I was just cracking a joke about Fincher, so I guess I could say it. One of the original people tapped to direct this was actually David Cronenberg. And I don't know how much of it was given to him and how much of his voice made it into the movie. But the animatronics do feel vaguely up his alley, you know, the body horror stuff, the mutated, like the mutated bodies.
That, you know, that's funny you said that. You know, you're Cronenberg.
I do.
Because
I have a copy of his version of The Fly somewhere over there.
While looking into this movie, I they were speaking about Cronenberg and how the mutants on Mars, like you're saying, the half, you know, mutant, mutated faces, like that was him. That was
totally
his, like, vision for it.
Even even the stuff like Quaid talking to himself on the tapes, like, you know, there's like the video screen with him talk, that like even reminded me of like Videodrome a little bit, where like Debbie Harry is like hypnotizing the main character through the TV and stuff. So yeah, I could totally see it. And I love that. I love being able to see the influence of other directors in your movie because they worked on it at some point, you know? It's just so interesting. Movies are so neat. No, like cool. Actually, this probably isn't the right avenue to say it, but I've been told in the past that I'm very forgiving towards movies. And that even if I say something isn't good, I don't usually get that offended by it. The Expendables 4 being the most recent exception to that rule, because I just tore into that the other night with you.
Yeah.
Literally not a movie. Like, it is basically just a hour and 40 minute arthritis commercial, as far as I'm concerned. But no, like, I usually love it. I usually come from a place of love because I know about filmmaking and I understand that like completing any movie, even a bad movie, is a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah.
So that is how I feel about it. But Total Recall is one of those things where it's like, it's all done so well and it's not done like, it's not like on the highest bastion of cinema or any, it's at the end of the day, it's just a fun action flick, but it does everything and it does it so well. And with such classic movie energy, which you mentioned even, that it's hard not to look at it and love the hell out of it, especially because action movies are largely in a bad spot these days. Like, outside of your John Wicks, your Mission Impossibles, and Monkey Man, I don't really know what's going on in the genre anymore. It just doesn't quite land for me. And it's ironic that the three movies I just mentioned are the ones that are putting forth a huge emphasis on actual stunt work and doing things as much as they can in camera.
I'm trying to think of other action movies.
Or like, I know like Jason Statham had The Beekeeper earlier this year.
I heard that wasn't bad either.
I haven't heard anything about it other than it's getting a sequel. So clearly enough, people liked it. And then here's a movie that just shows that like, no, just put a guy in there, have a three act structure, give us a reason to like him. And shit, man, like, I think what's so great about Total Recall and a lot of Arnold movies is that he isn't always a badass. You know what I mean? Like, Douglas Quaid is pretty, like, he is a badass. And by the end of the movie, he does just become Arnold Schwarzenegger spewing one-liners.
Yeah.
But a lot of the movie, he's just running away from stuff. He's not, like, bringing the fight to them necessarily. And it's like, it's nice. It's refreshing. And it helps when you have Jerry Goldsmith doing the score. That's just, he's one of the guys, you know. It's John Williams, Jerry Goldsmith, and Alan Silvestri are, like, the three most 80s movie soundtrack guys. I know this came out in 90, but like it sounds like an action movie from the 80s.
It feels like it. I mean, they started shooting in, I mean, it came out in 1990, but they started shooting
in 89. Yeah. So it's just so interesting. And even like the Jerry Goldsmith score does kind of recall like a little bit of Indiana Jones, recalls a little bit of First Blood, which he happened to do the soundtrack to. It's just super interesting. And I love when a movie is allowed to be a movie, you know.
Me too.
Doesn't have to set anything up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. Here's Arnold Schwarzenegger shooting his wife. You left the roast in. I guess we're eating takeout tonight. You know.
And then he says, rather, I am.
Dinner for two. For one. Wait, I got one more.
I have one for you.
I got one more. Here, set me up for this. You ready? We're going to play volleyball.
All right.
I need you to say, you won't hurt me. We're married.
You won't hurt me. We're married.
Sorry, brah.
I was going to say, this is for not telling me about the three-breasted women on Mars.
The most dude thing ever.
How could you keep this from me?
How could you keep this from me? Oh, God. Really quick, I'm just going to add some floating text under us. Just the word heterosexual. Flashing red text. In case that wasn't...
Hetero.
What's that? That's the hetero light. It does that sometimes. Why? Insecurity, mostly.
Warning. It's about to get super hetero around here.
Well, how you doing, fellow hets?
I'm somewhat of a hetero myself.
If Willem Dafoe said that, I would run. Okay, so one thing that I think is worth talking about is also just the supporting cast in this thing. for starters. I'm not even talking like the henchmen guys or like anything like that. I'm talking about in the bar. There was one character who stole the show for me, and it wasn't Dean Norris from Breaking Bad, although he was pretty good in the movie too. It was actually the little person they had.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
You knew it?
Yeah.
I loved her character so much. She's just this badass, like, person who turns tricks, and then when they're attacking the bar later on, she just straight up stabs a guy in the dick.
Stabs a guy, and she has a scene where she's on top of the bar.
Yeah, she climbs onto the bar.
Like, yo. I thought watching that, I was like, that is super cool for the time too, because little people were just like a punchline pretty much, especially then.
They were a punchline up until like 10 years ago, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, like there's a South Park where the entire joke for Cartman's character in that episode is he's making fun of a little person by bursting into laughter every time he walks past him. So it's great to see her. And that's kind of like the Paul Verhoeven of it all. He isn't punching down. He's just using like a visually interesting person. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that with any disparagement. I'm just saying like it feels very deliberate that he cast a little person and didn't give her any mutant features.
Yeah.
It's saying something about the outcasts of society, the people that others look at and treat like they are mutants. And it's just like, no, this person just has dwarfism, you know?
Yep.
I think that's what they call it. I'm sorry if that's like an antiquated term.
I don't know that it is. Or
I don't
it
think.
Is not.
I don't think it is, but I'm just covering my bases. Yeah. I think it's badass. Yeah. She stabbed a dude in the dick, climbed onto a bar, and just started fucking laying into a crowd with an Uzi, which is another weird thing. This future has Pepsi, it has Hilton, has Sharper Image, has Jack in the Box, it has Sharpies, and it still just has regular old Uzis.
I thought that too when at the end of the movie when they're using the holograms to kill all the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
When I see Arnold reload, I'm like, damn, this is 20, they said like 2080 something, and they just have bullets still.
Yeah.
They're still rocking with bullets.
They have like crazy hologram technology. Mm. They have the ability to build air domes and Mars, all this stuff.
Mm.
Still bullets.
Yep.
Which also, quick side tangent, the air domes and said very clearly oil, right? That's just commentary for oil. Oh, they raise the price of air.
Just charging everybody for air. We're restricting your air usage.
I'm just saying. It's kind of crazy. So but the bit players in this were great. Even the doctor from Recall, or the owner of Recall from the commercial, whatever, he's a character actor. He's done a lot of good stuff. He was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh, nice.
So random, but he was great in that. Michael Ironside's in this movie.
Yeah, he was awesome. Like, legit. And one of the videos that I had saw, they mentioned that he got into good shape for the movie because he's going to be standing next to Arnold. He's like, it's not going to make sense for me to look small when I'm his main villain.
He just quit pounding hot dogs for a few weeks because he's like, I got to be in shape. I'm with Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Even there was the guy who worked with Arnold at the construction site, his handler.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was really funny. Mm-hmm. He was really good. I loved him. And even though it makes no sense, if you're going to put Arnold somewhere and you're going to erase his memory and you want to make sure that nobody gets to him, blah, 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 why would you put budget Danny DeVito in charge of all of that? What's he going to do? You know, like, really?
Mm-hmm. And I take issue with their approach to Arnold not going to Recall. Everybody that was in place, like including Sharon Stone's character and his handler, they're just very adamant, like, don't do it, like telling him all the times, like that is like guarantees that it's just going to be on his mind all the time.
It was very Truman Show too, is what it was. It very much reminded me of the first half of the Truman Show, where it's just like, oh, you don't want to go there, why would you go here? This is the best place on earth. Jim Carrey's just like, fuck all of you.
something's weird just going on around here.
Everyone was really good in this movie. Even like Ronnie Cox, who he played Dick in RoboCop. Mm-hmm. He was like the evil CEO who wanted to kill, I forget the name of the actor, but the guy who was also in Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. You know, he's great. And it's so cool to see like a lot of the same people crop up across various Verhoeven movies. Sharon Stone, Ronnie Cox, Michael Ironside. Obviously, he was in Starship Troopers also, you know. Dean Norris was also in Starship Troopers. They clearly like working with this crazy Dutchman. He is. He just is. Have you ever heard him speak?
No. Nah.
He is like perpetually angry and so passionate about the movies he does. Mm. It's kind of inspiring, and it's really cool to see that he's coming back. He's making his first movie in a while for Hollywood, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, what's the guy's name that you just what's the
Ronnie Cox?
Ronnie Cox, yeah. One of the reasons why you know, some fans believe that this is all a dream is because when you see him at the end and he's like, you know, is explaining to him, Schwarzenegger is about to touch the thing that's going to basically.
Yeah, he does
know,
the, yeah, kind of like this and with his hand.
Don't touch that. Like he just comes out from behind a wall.
Stop.
With a gun.
Don't touch me there. Yeah. That's my safety square. Sorry, I just had to. This is what ADHD looks like, by the way. You just can't have a normal conversation with me.
That's my no-no spot.
All right, Arnold. God. Where did Ronnie Cox touch you?
Stop. Stop when I get to it. Like slowly.
Lower?
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 Oh, no.
Lower? Really? Oh, my God. Yes, I have a bust of Arnold Schwarzenegger's head. We're just putting this right here.
Is it in the shot?
It's in the medium shot.
The medium, yeah.
There we go. Continue.
Yeah. But yeah, so one of the reasons why people think it's a dream is because, yeah, he comes out of nowhere in the end, and that's like classic action movie shit.
Yeah.
If he was dreaming, like, oh, the bad guy's here to tell you his evil plan now. That's one of the reasons why people think that.
It's so cool that we can have a piece of art that can connect with you and connect with the person next to you on a completely different level. Like, you seem to believe that it was a dream, or you seem to be like
on the fence.
You're more towards it's a dream.
Yeah.
And I'm more towards it isn't.
Mm.
And that's valid. I think that's cool. Mm. Ambiguity is neat. It's what makes art fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the things, I don't know.
Yeah.
You sound like you enjoyed this movie.
I did.
Very good. Glad. I'm happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. For anyone who's still watching and hasn't seen the movie before, sorry if we spoiled it for you. I don't know if people do that. I do it with a lot of, like, I'll watch like a Red Letter Media video or mm-hmm. something, even if I haven't seen the movie.
Mm.
But if you haven't seen the movie before, feel free to tell us. And if you have, tell us what you think of it. Let us know if you want to see us do Mission Impossible someday.
Yeah.
And if you have any glaring admissions you'd like to make too, this is a safe place. The whole premise of the show is that we don't want to be pretentious about mm-hmm. movies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be pretentious. You haven't seen this movie? Cool. You know, maybe we'll do it on the show just for you someday.
So. And I'd like to shout out, no one specific, but it's cool that what we had talked about when we were talking about doing the show was like people in the comments talking about their experience with the movie. I know you say for people to do that, but mm-hmm. it's cool seeing it. You know, I saw that with Jurassic Park and Rad, and I'm looking forward to seeing what people are talking about with this movie.
So there you have it. There is our second episode of Glaring Admissions. We hope you enjoyed it. And I'm gonna take the Arnold Schwarzenegger bust. Okay. And this is a prop from a video I made on a different channel a couple of years ago. But I'm just gonna swaddle it. And we're just nice.
Support the head.
I am supporting the head. And that brings us to the end of the episode. We do hope you enjoyed it. Hope you have a great day. So yeah. Bye.
Bye.